You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Let's go, baby. The NFL postseason's here. Wild card weekend is this weekend. It's your sports gambling, homies. I'm Bet Slippin' Podcast co-host, Sportsbook Wire podcaster, and handicapper Jeff Clark, and I'm joined by my gambling consigliere, the homie and colleague, Eston McLaren. Eston, what is up?
It's playoff time, Jeff. Let's do this, and whoo! We got some interesting lines for, you know, a special playoff slate, a unique playoff slate, at least if they only stick with the one bye per division or per conference this year. But yeah, it's going to be good, and we got some lopsided lines, but we got some close ones too. I think it's going to be an excellent weekend, and you know, I sniffing some upsets.
It's the first time, yeah, like you said, it's the first time that we're going to have six wild card weekend, wild card games and wild card weekend, which is an awesome addition. At first, I was a little puzzled by it, but now that we're here, I cannot wait for essentially 7 hours of football Saturday and Sunday. It's perfect for me, who wants to, someone who likes to do nothing besides veg out and watch sports. And it just adds to like what's going to be an amazing weekend of sports between the NBA, college basketball, and the NFL weekend. Is there any game? Or which game are you most excited about?
I think now it's Baltimore, Tennessee. For a while, I was super looking forward to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, especially with those two teams playing back to back. Obviously, the Steelers are going to look a fair bit different this week than they did last week, but you know, seeing two division rivals go head to head, back to back weeks would have been awesome. But you know, some stuff going on with Cleveland and not probably going to get their best. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this Baltimore, Tennessee rematch from last playoff, and get into it a little later on, but I expect a much different result this time around. I think you do as well, and it'll be some good football. And then, well, not to overshadow the Saturday slate, you know, Buffalo Bills, let's see if they're for real. They finally got their home playoff game. You know, everyone thinks they're for real. I think they're for real. Got to take down the Colts, and then Rams, Seahawks. Yeah, maybe that's a good game. And then, I don't know, got my eye on Washington this weekend. You know, Tom Brady, a great year. Everyone wanted to see it. 43 years old, not playing like it. Washington, I don't know if that's the matchup he wants to have Saturday night.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually looking forward to, of course, the Ravens and Titans. That's the most interesting game. But the other one that you didn't mention that I'm looking forward to, just because the Saints are routinely cursed and they find like the most interesting and fun ways to get eliminated from the playoffs, I am looking to see how that plays out. That's going to be there's a lot of tension in that building between just like the butt clenching of the Saints because they don't want to choke. And then, like, I don't know, just between Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles going back and forth with the Chicago Bears starting quarterbacks. I feel like that has that could end up being the most surprising game of the weekend, especially if the Bears are able to pull that out. But there's no, I'm not 100% sure they will. We'll talk about that in a little while here, but let me set the table a little bit before we start eating. Also, got to tease something. We have a special standalone podcast coming out tomorrow covering just the national title game between the Alabama Crimson Tide and Ohio State Buckeyes this Monday. We plan on having a very special guest. I'm not going to tell you exactly who in case they were to fall through, but I'm looking forward to having this person on, so hopefully that that comes through. But we're going to be publishing, again, a specific or a special standalone college football preview, college football title game preview tomorrow. So look out for that. Also, we're going to cover a little bit of in scope and futures here. We're going to talk a little bit about the NHL puck drop. That's January 13th. And then we have, of course, the six-game NFL weekend card slate. NFL wildcard weekend slate. We're going to go through all those games. So this could be a leaner episode, but again, we're going to push the college football title game coverage till tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. But thanks for streaming the NFL wildcard weekend. Without any further ado, let's get into the handicapping, but we'll start with scope and futures.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, scope and futures.
All right, Eston, this is your time to shine. You're more of the hockey guy than I am, but like I said, the NFL puck, or the NHL drops the puck for the first time January 13th. The season's going to run from, at least scheduled to run from January 13th to May 8th. It's going to be a 56-game regular season schedule. This is kind of a sandbox segment for you, Eston. You can kind of take this wherever you want to go. What are some of the angles or the things you're looking to focus on here this upcoming NHL regular season?
Yeah, you set the table well there. 56 games, so we got another condensed, shortened season. And what we've seen across all sports this COVID-19 altered sporting season, you know, Tampa Bay Lightning, the preseason favorites. Won the Stanley Cup last year. The Los Angeles Dodgers, the preseason favorites in MLB, won the World Series. The Los Angeles Lakers, the preseason favorites in NBA, they won the championship. I don't know what it was, if it's the condensed season, if it was that few month-long break in each sport in between that allowed these teams to get rested, get healthy, and be at their best. But we saw the cream rise to the top last year. I think we see the same again in these shortened, condensed seasons. And in the NHL, Stanley Cup favorites right now, Colorado Avalanche, Vegas Golden Knights. You know, you can't go wrong with either one of those bets. Obviously, those odds aren't great. You're getting $70-$80 off of a $10 wager. That's fine. It's almost free money, maybe. And yeah, they're both very good teams. Both got better this offseason. And both, I don't know, almost, at least Colorado deserved probably a better fate last year. So I think both of those teams, very, very strong contenders. You shouldn't be looking much farther down the odds board this year in the NHL anyway. Going a little bit deeper, I like the Edmonton Oilers at +2200 and the Washington Capitals at +2200 as well. There's four divisions this year, the East, the West, the Central, and the North. The North is composed of the seven Canadian teams, and newsflash, they aren't very good. Edmonton... No, they can outscore anyone in the league any given night. Obviously, they struggled to do that come playoff time, have for years. Goaltending is still an issue again this year. You got Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen back again this year. It's well beyond me to tell you how they did not make any sort of meaningful upgrade there. Well, no upgrade at all, really. But, you know, they only got to beat six Canadian teams, and they can certainly do that. They can get in the playoffs. You know, maybe they're able to cruise through the regular season a bit and give their goalies a bit more rest, have them be sharper come playoff time, +2200. I think that's a good bet for a team very well positioned to win its division at the very least. And then Washington, you know, they lost Braden Holtby this offseason. Great goaltender, won a Stanley Cup for them before. He's replaced by Ilya Samsonov, who's now the better goaltender. He was the better goaltender last year. Holtby still got more playing time. But I think a lot of people in Washington, a lot of fans of the Capitals wanted to see him get more playing time. They're going to get it this year. He's a very good, promising young netminder. And the rest of that team's still very, very strong, both on offense and defense. So Edmonton Oilers +2200, Washington Capitals +2200. But don't blame me if you want to play it safe and stick with either Colorado or Vegas.
Is there any advantages or disadvantages for Edmonton Oilers playing in the Canadian division?
No, I really don't think so. Obviously, the Canadian division is going to have a fair bit more travel than any of the three divisions focused out of the U.S. Maybe that plays into it somehow. I really don't think so. especially when you look at the competition. And, you know, Toronto, yes, obviously the favorite there. They're plus 1,500 to win the Stanley Cup. That I'm even fine with that value. But I like the extra money on Edmonton. And, yeah, I can't really forecast right now how difficult it's going to be having to go across the country. I think it's really probably going to turn out to be pretty fair balance, however they do it. But yeah, we'll see.
Another question I have though is like for the schedule, it's a 56 game schedule, but they all mostly play in division games to kind of offset the situation with, you know, the Canadian teams not being able to come to America and the American teams not being able to play in Canada, or will the other three divisions get to play themselves or each other, but the Canadian division has to stay up in Canada?
Yeah, it's exclusively division scheduling for all four of them. So you look at the three located in the States, and the Central and the East divisions are loaded, just absolutely stacked. The West has some opening. Two obvious favorites there are Colorado and Vegas, and I think that helps them. I think they cruise to that division, 1-2 in whichever order you want. But yeah, I don't really like, other than Washington, they're in the East. I'm taking a chance on them just because I think they are that good. And they cruised through last year before a surprising first round upset at the hands of the New York Islanders in the first round. You know what? I don't think we see that happen again. I think things are a little more stable this year. They have a little more success. And yeah, they're very talented. And I think that plays out this year in a shortened, condensed season. And you know, it doesn't matter how good your opponents are if you're still better than them.
You said the East is the toughest division in NHL, right?
It's between the East and the Central. I think right now, looking, it's the East. Yeah, obviously you could have a couple teams struggle more than expected. The Islanders, a lot of people think they maybe take a step back this year. The Rangers, maybe expectations are a little too high for a team that just had the number one draft pick. Probably shouldn't have had the number one draft pick, of course. But
as a Ranger fan, let me just tell you, the expectations are always way too high.
Yeah, that's a very strong team, and you know, they weren't the last place team last year. They benefited from adding a very good player in Alexis Lafreniere in the number one spot. So
did they win some sort of lottery, or did they trade for the first pick?
No, they won a lottery, and bad news for the Detroit Red Wings and Ottawa Senators and New Jersey Devils, Buffalo Sabres, Los Angeles Kings, all teams who very much needed a number one pick and were very deserving of number one pick. None of them got it, and Rangers definitely win. Probably the best team ever to pick number one overall.
Oh, wow. I feel terrible for all those teams. Oh, no. do you have... Okay, so you like the Capitals. You're willing to splash a little bit or sprinkle a little bit on them at plus 2,200 to win the Stanley Cup. So I'm assuming you would take them at plus 500 to win the Eastern Division, Central Division. I know you were on the Lightning early heading into the bubble playoffs last year, but do you expect them to take the division, the Central, again this year? Well, actually, I don't know if they took it last year, but do you expect them to take the Central this year?
They could. It's tough to bet against them. Nikita Kucherov, their leading point getter last year, one of their best players the last few years, he's going to miss the entire regular season at least, underwent hip surgery. Obviously, they're loaded with talent enough to survive without him. Steven Stamkos is coming back from injury this year. If any team can make up for a loss of a player like Kucherov, it would be them. But that's a big loss to bet a plus 135 favorite in a very good division. The Dallas Stars, Western Conference champions last year, they're plus 500. There's some real good value there. I like Florida Panthers. If they get the goaltending they're supposed to get from Sergei Bobrovsky, plus 1,200, that's a good bet as well. But I think if I had to pick just one right now, it would be the Stars plus 500. Tyler Seguin also underwent hip surgery, but he's going to be back quite a bit sooner than Kucherov will. He's supposed to be back in early March. That's fine for me for a Stars team that relies on goaltending and defense anyway.
All right. And I don't want to press you if you haven't been able to handicap some of the future markets. You still have close to a week left, but do you have Do you have any award winners that you're willing to put some of your hard-earned money on?
Yeah, I got one award winner, and then I got two point total over-unders I'll address here quickly. Jack Eichel for Hart Trophy MVP, Buffalo Sabres. No, that's a Buffalo Sabres team that finally seems to improve. They went out and got Taylor Hall in free agency. Left winger, he'll play right beside Jack Eichel on the top line. And I think that's a team, touched on it briefly earlier. They'll take a stride this year and contend, albeit in a very tough division. And then two season-long point total bets here. Once again, 56-game season. Leon Draisaitl, last year's MVP. His point total is set at 72.5, minus 110 odds either side. I'm hammering the under on that. Yeah, he's a very good player. Yes, the schedule is probably pretty favorable for the Edmonton Oilers, playing only the other six Canadian teams. But under 72.5, that team's a little more balanced than it has been in recent years. I think we see a little bit of decline from him and Connor McDavid from the point total department. And we have to factor in as well, 56-game season, that means there's less time to ramp up before you got to play your best hockey, really. Like, that's where the missing 26 games really come into play. You don't have 10 warm-up games this year. You better be playing your best hockey by game three or five. One over I do like, Braden Point of the Lightning, over 62.5, minus 110 odds once again. Again, Kucherov out for the year. I think Braden Point's the guy who receives a lot of that, not even extra playing time, but extra shots, extra time with the puck. And Steven Stamkos back as well. I think Braden Point can play a little bit of a playmaker for him. And 62.5 is a very manageable total for him, whereas I think the 72.5 is quite high for Draisaitl.
Going along the idea or the angle that you had about like it being a shortened season and there being like less time and less opportunity for these teams to prepare heading in, do you think it'd be better to like look for like older players and hitting unders on their point totals? I don't know. This is just me just spitballing here, but I don't know, players like Alexander Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby, are they more susceptible to slower starts, or are they more susceptible, or are they more likely to start out hotter? From my understanding, and again, this is just me talking shit, so clean this up for the listeners who need the education, but I feel like Alexander Ovechkin usually starts a little slow, so I would look at his under, but I don't know. Again, I'm just trying to get the conversation moving or try to add something to it, because you're killing it on the hockey end here.
It's a very good theory. Ovechkin's point total of 52.5, so yeah, that definitely seems a little too high, maybe, especially for a guy who gets a lot of his points via goal scoring. But again, mm-hmm. We touched on before with the team futures and how the best teams have risen to the top in all three sports to hand out a championship so far in the COVID era. Does the same thing happen individually for a player, especially of the caliber of Ovechkin or Crosby? Quite possibly. You know, it has in the MLB, the Los Angeles Dodgers team, loaded with star players and star pitching, star hitting. You know, every single one of them did great. NBA, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, they did fantastic. I don't know. I think maybe the shortened season helps to work in that way where, you know, they can play a full 56 games at their very best. And, you know, they don't need to worry about saving some for later in the season.
Well, it's pretty obvious that it's very touch and go here for all the, all the regular seasons for the sports, because, you know, with the whole COVID altered circumstances for every sport, it's tough to envision how or if these regular seasons are going to play as scheduled. I mean, everyone is rightfully assuming that there's going to be some hiccups and speed bumps along the way. So I get what you're saying, just trying to, you know, throw in some food for thought and see if I can add anything to this pretty good conversation, albeit mostly one-sided about hockey, but trying to keep up, Eston. You're much more of an expert about this than I am, I'll tell you that.
Well, just in general theory, I think you just need to pay much closer attention to the early season results and then, you know, live bet some of these futures and place bets on guys who are outperforming their odds early on. So if a guy starts out with, you know, more than a point per game in the first 5 games, 10 games, whatever. And the odds really haven't dropped because he's not so well known. You gotta bet that right away because you don't know if it's gonna last for the whole season or if what he does in a 30-game sample is gonna be good enough. It's gonna be fascinating. And yeah, I follow along with hockey. I love hockey. I've never seen a 56-game season before, so it'll be fun.
All right. Well, unless you have anything else to add to the scope and future segment, do you want to wrap this up and head over to BetMGM Buggin' where you talk about the wild card weekend?
Yeah, let's go. We got some playoff football, baby.
All right, let's do it.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. MGM Buggin'.
So all of you know the routine by now. BetMGM Buggin', at least during the NFL season, has been where we... is a segment that we use to break down the NFL slate. Here or there, we'll throw in some other things, but it's mostly been just NFL, and we're going to keep it just NFL, I would say, here for the rest of the playoffs. S and I had a NFL weekly pick'em head-to-head contest going that I had won during the regular season, or I have built a lead during the regular season, and we're extending that little head-to-head battle here in the postseason. I know I was ahead, I think only by a couple games, but can you just refresh everyone's memory, including my own, about the updated standings?
Through week 17 in the regular season, you are up 30-28-2. I got you 2-1 last week, which brought me back to within striking distance. I want to feel. Our opportunities to disagree have dwindled significantly, so maybe that's going to be my struggle from here on out. Or maybe my struggle is going to continue just picking bad teams. But you got a 2-game lead. Last week I won. I had the New Orleans Saints -6.5. They won 33-7 against the Carolina Panthers, so covered easily. And I had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -6.5 against the Atlanta Falcons, and they won 44-27. So two that I didn't have to sweat too much. And then wisely got...
The Falcons was a field goal game going into the fourth, wasn't it?
A field goal game for the Falcons, buddy. Where have you been?
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, they need at least 10 more points for me to feel good about that. But
you wisely got the Denver Broncos +2.5, and they lost 32-31 to the Las Vegas Raiders. So good on you taking the small spread and getting the win.
Well done. Needed it.
Yeah.
Couldn't be shut out last week. All right. Well, most of you guys know the rules. Obviously, Eston does too. But just to refresh you, since Eston beat me in last week's head-to-head pick'em, he gets to host the slate, which is the only thing I like about losing to you. You do such a good job hosting. But I'll let you take it away from here with the Saturday slate.
All right, thank you. BetMGM Buggin', all lines from BetMGM Sportsbook, available in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Welcome to the party. Iowa just announced last week. Saturday slate, 3 games, like we said. Indianapolis Colts at Buffalo Bills. Second-seeded Buffalo Bills, 13-3, regular season record. 6.5-point favorites at Bills Field, excuse me. And they're going to have fans, just a limited number, but some Bills fans is more than other, few Bills fans is more than more fans for other teams. Maybe
it works.
Whatever. Yeah. 6.5-point favorites.
It's not the amount of fans in the stadium. It's the amount of fandom in the fan. Okay, no, I ruined it even worse. No, I made it worse than you.
No, that was perfect. I like that.
I was getting there.
It's about the fandom and the fans.
It's about the passion in the stadium, not how many fans are there. That's what we're trying to say.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and the number of tables in the parking lot, if you will.
Oh, man. I have a friend that's a Buffalo Bills fan, and he's entertaining putting his newborn through a table just for the playoffs.
Okay, Bills, these fans are going to get a treat. 6.5-point favorites, 13-3, second seed in the AFC. Obviously, AFC East champions, take that, New England, in your face, Billy B. Over under 51.5 in this game, -105 for the over, -115 for the under. Indianapolis Colts on the other side, 11-5, snuck in with the seventh seed. They wallop the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 17, got a little week run revenge there. They won four of their final five games. Yeah, everyone counting on the Bills here, looking at the Bills. They're getting all the hype. Indianapolis Colts had a great season and defied my expectations. I had a preseason bet on them to miss the playoffs at plus money. Sadly, had to rip that one up. But I'm back on the Bills, minus 6.5. Give me Josh Allen over Phillip Rivers any day of the week and twice on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with the Bills as well. I'm a little nervous how square it is. I will say this and just preface, I guess, my side of this whole slate. The NFL wild card weekend, I talked about this last week, is the best weekend of my year, every year. My confidence is absolutely through the roof right now. I am going to be hammering these lines come this weekend. I've put in a little action already, but I'm on the Bills as well, minus 6.5, as square as that sounds. I mean, I kind of throw out the market stuff here in the postseason with the NFL. It's something that I use a lot with my regular season handicapping. I use it more so for the NBA because I think it's more applicable. And the reason being, I mean, the NFL is king. I mean, that's a saying around sports media, and it's true. It does the best job paying everyone's bills in sports media, and it gets the most eyeballs, generates the most ratings and most viewers, and because of all of that, or in turn with all of that, it has the biggest gambling handle. You know, all these teams are good at something, hence they made the playoffs. So if you're just going to default to fading the market, I don't think that's the strongest angle at this point. I might use that here or there, but I'm comfortable rolling with the public and the sharps, which are hitting the Bills at over 80%. They're 4-1 as a home favorite, and for the first time all season, they're actually going to have, well, 4-1 in their last five as a home favorite against the spread. And for the first time, they're actually going to have the Bills Mafia on hand. I actually think it's a factor. Also, there's the weather forecast calling for 30 degrees. It's going to be a clear 30 degree day, but like I think it matters. I've heard a few people try to say it doesn't matter, Eston, because there isn't going to be wind and there isn't going to be snow. But the quarterback of the Colts, Phillip Rivers, played in San Diego in LA for what, 14, 15 years, and then he moved to a dome. I don't know how that doesn't affect him at all. Like how anyone could go into their handicap and just be like, well, 30 degrees, but it's not windy, so hey, big deal. I don't know. I don't get that. I think the weather is gonna play a factor. It's definitely gonna hurt how well he can deliver the ball, and it's gonna make it easier for Sean McDermott to scheme up the defense. Against a good offensive line, and it's got a Colts ground game that's trending up. Also, if this Colts defense is so awesome, why are they only five spots ahead of the Bills in defensive DVOA? They're seventh, the Bills are 12th, and they have a 9-7 over-under record. The Colts have allowed 300 passing yards or 300 plus passing yards in four of the last five games and five of their last seven. So their pass defense is trending down, and we know how Josh Allen and the Bills' aerial attack is trending. It's soaring right now. Colts are 2-4 versus winning teams this season. They're 5-2 in one score games. That generally is coin flip scenarios, and those can go either way, people are thinking, or that's like the commonly held theory, I guess. And I think it's huge that Josh Allen and Sean McDermott already popped their playoff cherries. They got their first playoff experience as a head coach and starting quarterback last year against the Houston Texans. Of course, they lost. There's a few other reasons why I really like the Bills. I guess I'm wondering how you feel about the over-under, because I've heard a lot of quote-unquote sharps like the over here, and I'm a little confused by it, but I wanted to get your thoughts.
I think I do like it. Yeah, the Colts have a good defense. You know, you mentioned it's not much better than Buffalo's, but that's fine. It's still good. It's still in the top third of the league. But this Bills team has faced good defenses. They just hung what, 55 on the Dolphins last week? 56 on the Dolphins last week. And that's a Dolphins defense. That was the main reason why Miami was as good as they were all year. They, you know, lit up the Seattle Seahawks. They lit up the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, this Bills team, yeah, they're legit. Offensively, they are as good as anyone in the NFL right now. We're going to see if they're as good as the Chiefs, I guess. They can handle the Colts defense. I'm not scared with that at all. They played to a 56-26 score against Miami last week. Now that's a lot of room for error to still hit the over on 51.5 against the Colts. The fear would be Phillip Rivers and the Colts living up to their end of the bargain in the cold in Buffalo. And yeah, I absolutely agree with you that playing in the cold matters, and playing in the cold sucks, especially for Phillip Rivers from Alabama, went to college in NC State. Now, played in San Diego, played in Los Angeles, now plays in a dome. He can't play in the cold. It's going to be freezing in Buffalo. I don't care if it's sunny or not. Yeah, give me Buffalo and the over. I like both.
Yeah, like there's this, I don't know, it feels like it's West Coast media people. You know, I'm originally from the East Coast, but I'm out here on the West Coast. But it feels like West Coast media people look at the weather report and see that there's not a lot of wind. And like, all right, well, it won't be that bad. It's like, 30 degrees is gonna suck. It's gonna suck to be outside.
Being cold is awful. I hate being cold.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how getting hit in 30 degree weather is that much better if there's no wind. And I actually think the Bills defense, I mean, it is somewhat trending up. They gave up 26 last week against the Dolphins, but the Dolphins were in must win mode and throwing from behind. Pretty much the whole game. They stepped on the Patriots' throats the week before that. They looked good against the Broncos the prior week. A struggling Steelers offense, they held only 15 points, granted. Chargers, they held the 17 points, and we know how good that rookie's been. And, you know, they've improved after their Week 11 bye, the Buffalo Bills as a defense. And I have a lot of confidence in their offense and being able to move the ball, but there's quality coaching with the Colts with Frank Reich, and Darius Leonard is one of the few defensive players that make a difference. So I think together they'll be able to strategize a way to keep the Bills in front of them, not get destroyed by big plays, but I don't have a lot of faith in their offense. That's where I think they're going to lose the game, and that's why I'm hesitant to bet, to even like entertain the over. But some wise in the know people have made points about the over, and I don't hate it, but it's just not something that I'm willing to play. I do like the Bills -6.5, so we're on the same page there.
Yeah, finally here quickly, we don't usually get to do this on this show because they're not usually out in time, but there are player props up today, Thursday, for this game. And Phillip Rivers, over 0.5 interceptions, -160. Hammer that. That's going to happen in the cold.
I agree. I was looking at something today. I was prompted by, I don't know, one of the podcasts that I listen to, other podcasts. Not as cool as this one. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Wherever you see Bet Slipping Podcasts, it helps us rise the charts. I was hearing, I heard earlier, I don't know, this week, something about the Bills being great in terms of first quarter margin. They're 10th in first quarter points per game, but they're first in first quarter points allowed. The Colts are 22nd first quarter points allowed. They are second in first quarter points scored. But I guess what I'm thinking here is if the Bills get up early, they have the 8th highest blitz rate. And if they get the Colts into suboptimal script where they're throwing from behind, I absolutely think Tre'Davious White and or Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde are going to jump a route. So I don't hate that. And that'd probably be a good way to tackle on it is over. You said, positive or negative juice on that? I don't know if that's the right way to put it.
-160 for over 0.5. Hopefully you can find an alternate line that's over 1.5. I don't know. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of value right now. Hopefully it's trending toward rising to 1.5. So I would still take the over there. Two picks is certainly in the cards for old Phil.
All right. Well, we're both on the Bills, so no head-to-head on that one. That's all I got in the game for the most part. Do you want to move to the next one?
Yeah, we're good there. Let's do Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks, third seed in the NFC at 12-4. Rams got the sixth seed, 10-6. Must-win game. John Wolford over the Arizona Cardinals and Chris Streveler. Seahawks, 3.5-point favorites, over under 42.5, minus 110 odds everywhere on this one. Do you have any faith in the Rams and Jared Goff, who seems to be trending toward playing but may not be at his best coming off a thumb surgery?
No. So entering these playoffs, quarterbacks making their first playoff start are, since 2002, are 10-29 straight up, which is 35%, and 12-27 against the spread at 44%. We talked about Josh Allen losing last year to Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield's making his first start. Deshaun Watson lost his first start to the Indianapolis Colts a couple years ago. Lamar Jackson lost to the Chargers. It's just a thing. Quarterbacks lose their first start in the playoffs more often than not. They usually underperform expectation. John Wolford could be making his second ever start. Second ever in the NFL. So first playoff, second ever. Do you know where he was drafted? He wasn't. He was not drafted. It's weird how glass half full the NFL media is about Wolford's running ability versus whatever Goff brings to the table. Now, I'm not a Goff guy by any means, but I mean, going off of what we've seen from just Wolford, just one game, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy how reactionary the NFL media is, especially being as though the Rams offense scored 9 points last week versus the Cardinals and their defense scored 9 points. I don't know really what's to be excited about Wolford. He can run a little bit. Okay. And just the vibe that I have going into this game is, sometimes, and I've written this in a column before, I'm sure you've read it, but sometimes you have to be willing to lose bets. And if the Rams with John Wolford beat me, I'm okay losing this one. I am. Seahawks pass blocking versus Rams pass rush and Rams run blocking versus the Seahawks run stop is equal parts bad. But if this Wolford kid and Goff don't have the benefit of reliable ground game, do you expect him to beat the Seahawks in Seattle? Especially with this defense, I think it's trending up. I do. I think it's trending up. They got Hall of Fame talent all over there, all over the defense. Carlos Dunlap brought him a pass rusher they need. He's not doing amazing, but Pete Carroll has figured out the recipe of this defense to get it to play at its best. And I lean -3.5. Call me a schnook, but that's where I'm leaning right now. I don't know if I'm going to take it to the window, but come Saturday, I'm probably going to end up betting it. I just want to be a little more selective with my taking it to the window. I don't know if you tracked your scores. I didn't track my scores, but I have a feeling they weren't as high as I would like them to be. So I don't know if this is going to the window, but I definitely lean Seahawks -3.5. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel my strongest bets throughout the season worth of episodes did quite well. But yeah, on the whole, going to the window, not the best. Could have done better. Will do better this week. Once again, stuck agreeing with you though. But yeah, Seattle, absolutely. And a lot of people say, the improved defense, a lot of that is schedule induced. And that's absolutely true. They had a very soft schedule in the second half of the season, down the stretch especially. But I think they're good enough to beat if it's Jared Goff, he's playing mostly one-handed. If it's John Wolford, he's an undrafted guy making the second ever NFL start. And if Russell Wilson loses this game, I never want to see hashtag let Russ cook again. I never want to see it written. I never want to heard it said. I want all Hall of Fame conversation to end right there on Saturday evening. Because if he loses to John Wolford or whatever version of Jared Goff this will be, then he doesn't deserve any of that talk ever again. We already saw this year in the second half, he absolutely cooled off. Started the year guns a-blazing, one of the best players in the NFL. He almost had the MVP locked up by week five, how good he played in those first five games. Didn't see much of that latter half of the season. I think we see it this week. We should see it this week. A very tough Rams defense. And yeah, they were good enough to win last week to beat a banged up Arizona Cardinals team. This Seattle Seahawks team is much better than that. And, you know, the run game, very strong as well. Chris Carson is resting in practice early this week, so he's going to be ready to go. You know, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett is good, a wide receiver tandem in the NFL. Seattle gets this done, and Jamal Adams gets his first NFL playoff win. He is going to play, according to him, at the very least.
Oh, I think he's going to play for sure. I mean, this is what they brought him over here for, and this is what he, I'm pretty sure he demanded a trade out of the Jets. I sure hope he did. I know I would if I was there. This is a situation where we got split market action with the sharps at 55% of the cash is coming in on the Rams, but 67% of the bets. So typically the cash column is considered the sharp side. Are you at all nervous about having to go against the people who supposedly make a living doing this?
No, like you said, like this is a time where I'd be okay to be wrong. And what are those sharps backing? Just the Rams defense? Yeah, defense wins you games sometimes. The Seattle Seahawks team can just beat you too many ways. And with a strong defense, you still got to put points on the board. And with a very limited passing attack, no matter who's at quarterback, that's really going to take away the run game led by a rookie in Cam Akers. And yeah, I just don't see what's in it to back the Rams. They got a couple defensive scores last week off of bad quarterback play by the Cardinals. Russell Wilson isn't going to make those same mistakes, and all he needs to do for Seattle to win this game is to not make those mistakes. So I think Seattle wins. I do like the under 42.5 here. I think that Rams defense does contain Seattle a bit, and I just don't see the Rams putting up enough points to be of any real threat to either the betting lines or to the Seattle Seahawks' fear of advancing.
Sure. Well, last thing before we move on, I do think this could be a spot where Pete Carroll's usually boring play calling and game, I don't know, game scripting could come in handy because it keeps Russell Wilson out of danger of like committing a bad turnover, which could only help a Rams team, an offense that you think is going to need a little help. You know, Cooper Kupp coming off of a COVID test, missing a game because of COVID. I don't know how much, if at all, he's affected by getting the virus or what the situation was with that. And you have the thumb with Jared Goff. So, you know, if this is old school Pete Carroll where he's just calling halfback dives and then Russ needs to make some brilliance happen here or there, that could actually work in their benefit. So interesting. And I guess I don't hate the under, but I'm afraid of totals, and if it's an obvious total, like, I wonder, like, should I be fading that? But then again, I also think, well, maybe I should just listen to other people who are smarter about totals than me. But yeah, I don't know. You've made a lot of good points too. That's all I got on this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Seattle and the under, may do a little parlay there, same game parlay. BetMGM provides those. So next game, another under I really, really love. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, -8.5-point favorites against your NFC East champion Washington football team. +8.5-point home dogs, over under 44.5, -115 for the over. Strange, -1.5 for the under. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Aston, I really didn't like the tone when you said Washington football team as your NFC East champions. Can you go back and say it again, and I'll just edit it out? I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Anyway, Buccaneers, 8.5-point favorites. And I wrote a column today for sportsbookwire.com. It'll be up early tomorrow morning. This line to me seems to have a whole lot of the Tom Brady factor baked into it. Yes, Washington was only 7-9. Yes, they won only the NFC East. Yeah, neither one of those are huge accomplishments, but they're still a playoff team. They beat who they had to beat to get into the playoffs. And yes, that was Nate Sudfeld, unfortunately for Jeff. Yeah, Buccaneers, this line just factors in the fact that Tampa Bay and Tom Brady especially are just such a heavy betting favorite. And that's teamed up. This line opened at 7. It's up to 8.5 now as we're recording Thursday evening. I like Washington plus 8.5. It's a whole lot of points. And I like under 44.5. I think Washington can keep this tight and low scoring. I gave a long, long look to the plus 340 money line, Jeff. I don't know if I'm going to end up betting that. I'm not sure if I'm that brave, that bold, because this Buccaneers team is very good. Tom Brady's very, very good. He had an excellent season. Deserves more MVP talk than he's getting. But I don't know. I think Tampa Bay is too good. They win this game, but I think Washington keeps this tight. They have the pass rush for it.
So the Buccaneers offense has been rolling recently. And granted, they put up 44 against the Falcons, 31 against the Falcons, 47 against the Lions. Teams with nothing to play for, especially, weeks 15 through 17 there. They scored 26 in the Vikings, but it wasn't as impressive. And this offense has looked great at times, and so has the defense. I think they both kind of reached its zenith in their week 6 win over the Green Bay Packers 38-10. But part of me wants to take the Washington football team at plus 8.5, which is so many points. And I love their defense and their pass rush, but Brady's faced the 28th most pressure in the NFL. They have a really good offensive line, and he's obviously really good and smart at getting rid of the ball fast. Alex Smith has faced the second most pressure in the NFL, and I don't know how much of that is like him, being worried about the pass rush coming off that, gruesome leg injury that he suffered a couple years ago. How much of it is bad luck? Maybe he just was playing against good pass rushing teams or has played against good pass rushing teams. And if he played a full 16 games, he would hit more of the median in terms of pressure faced. But there is pressure in his face. And if he's not fully healthy, I don't see, I don't think they can bring Taylor Heinicke in and get anything out of that offense. I don't see that happening. And I have been saying that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is pretty overrated. I don't know if the Washington football team has the personnel to exploit any of them, though, or exploit any of that. So that's what I'm concerned with. I did play the Buccaneers and the Bills in a teaser, which unfortunately isn't offered on BetMGM. BetMGM. But I don't know. I'm having second thoughts about the Buccaneers straight up here, if I'm being honest. We do have to get some action in here. And unless this game has to go so far under, I think, for the football team to cover. Like, it needs to be a 17-10 game. And it could be. Yeah. It could be. A lot of people are saying, making the same joke, Tom Brady can't play past 8 o'clock or his bedtime's 9:30. All right. And we've seen him struggle against teams that specialize in defense. Week 5 against the Bears. Week 8 against the Giants. Week 11 against the Rams. And I'd argue that the Saints' defense, and I'm going to argue in a few minutes, is as important as its offense. And, the Buccaneers didn't win either of the Saints' games. So I do lean the Buccaneers 8.5. It was a roundabout way of getting there. I went through a lot of emotions in my little handicap here, but I lean Buccaneers minus 8.5, and we can circle back and lock that into a bet if we have no other action throughout the slate.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Hopefully we can get you to commit a little bit more, but yeah, I agree with you that for the route for Washington to hang in this game is a very, very low scoring game. I disagree with you a little bit. I give a lot more credit to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. You know, they're they're pretty neck and neck with Washington on a lot of defensive metrics, team pass rush, win rate, DVOA, what have you. They're, I mean, it's a strong unit, and yeah, some of that is competition based and getting to feast on the Carolina Panthers and Atlanta Falcons and a few other weak opponents. Washington, yeah, bad NFC East, but they've had some tough games outside of that.
Talked me into it. I will take Tampa Bay -8.5.
Okay,
because you brought up the schedule. I didn't even think of that. You're right. Like the Tampa Bay played the Saints twice. They played the Green Bay Packers. They played the Atlanta Falcons, who have weapons that literally, like, outside of the Cowboys, no one in the NFC East has. I mean, Washington's played obviously the softest division schedule out of anyone. Yeah, I'm looking through the Tampa Bay Buccaneers schedule right now. You got the Saints a couple times. They had the Chargers, who put up 31 points with Justin Herbert, Green Bay Packers. And then, yeah, like I said, Vikings, which had a really strong offense. The Chiefs. You know, so, like, they're more battle-tested. So I'm going to weigh their defense even heavier than Washington, despite loving Ron Rivera and Chase Young. So let's do it. Head-to-head. That's our first action.
Okay. Love it. Now we can move into Sunday slate. Another three games in store. And this is probably the game I've flip-flopped on the most all week. Tennessee Titans, AFC South champs, 11-5, get the 4 seed. +3.5 point home dogs, -120 odds against the Baltimore Ravens, who are 3.5 point favorites, +100. They're the 5th seed at 11-5. Over under 54.5 in this one, the highest total of the week. So we're going to get a shootout in Nashville. Love to see that. I flip-flop on this one. I may flip-flop again before the end of the show, so I'll let you go ahead on this one. But once again, Baltimore Ravens, 3.5 point favorites, +100.
I hope you flip-flop against me, because this is my best bet. I got the Baltimore Ravens -3.5. I'm willing to lay the 3.5 on the road. So Lamar Jackson's 30-9 as a starter, including the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's also 0-2 versus the Tennessee Titans, and if he loses in this wild card round, he'll be 0-3, making 3 of his 10 losses versus one team. I can't think of a comp off the top of my head, but that's pretty staggering dominance versus a team with a defense as soft as the Titans playing against an MVP, an offensive MVP quarterback. Titans defense is last in third down percentage, 30th in red zone scoring defense. Let's just leave it there. 29th in defensive DVOA. And if we look at last year's wild card game, the Ravens were favored 10.5 going into it. Now, I know how they got here is a little bit different. I think the Ravens could have contended. They would have done a little bit better than the AFC North race had they not had the COVID situation in the beginning of the year. Tennessee had a COVID situation, but I felt like the NFL was still dealing with the protocol, and they did some things to bend around the Tennessee Titans and make sure the Tennessee Titans had all of their players out against the Buffalo Bills when they were stricken by their COVID outbreak. Whereas the NFL made the Ravens run out there and play the Steelers even without Lamar Jackson. But if you look at last year's game, again, the Ravens are favored 10.5. First 5 drives, Titans punt in the first drive in 5 plays. Second drive, the Ravens, they had 7 plays moving the ball down the field. Lamar Jackson hits Mark Andrews in the hands at the Tennessee 19, tips off his hands, and Byard gets an interception, goes the other way, puts it in the Ravens side of the field. Third drive would be the Titans. They score on a short field touchdown. Fourth drive, Ravens. So it's their 2nd drive. They turn over on downs. And if you remember last year, the Baltimore Ravens pioneered or set the record for most 4th down conversions and attempts after they turned over on downs. The 5th drive was a touchdown, putting them up 14-0, and it was a 1-play short field touchdown, 40-yard shot to a tight end. And the Titans really never You know, they were never threatened at that point. And I just feel like if the Ravens go up early, if they score on that first drive, given with how momentous the Ravens were last year, they're going to roll that team. Ravens had 230 more yards last year in that wild card game. It wasn't a wild card game. It was a division round game. They were 29-15 in first downs. They were -3 in turnovers and 0-4 in fourth down conversion. Again, 2019 Baltimore thing. I mean, if these things happen, Ravens get up. What happens in that game? And are the Titans going to come back like they did in week 2 against the Vikings, week 7 against the Steelers? Shit, they came back from 11 down against the Ravens in week 11, and they were down, but made it compelling against the Browns in week 13. But if they get down like that, they did against these other opponents, I think the Ravens are just going to continue to run away on them, especially against the defense this week. I know I'm kind of belaboring the point here, but I just got to get all my notes out there. Hope I'm not stepping on your handicapping time here, Aston. But the Ravens are better on two or three sides of the ball here. They got their 20 spots ahead of them in defensive DVOA. They're 9th, Tennessee's 29th. 26 spots ahead of them in special teams DVOA. They're 2nd, and Tennessee's 28th. I feel as though special teams could matter in this situation a lot, seeing as though we saw the Titans lose on Thursday Night Football because of punting issues. We've seen Steven Gostkowski miss kicks and keep teams in the game for the Titans, and we've seen them play a number of one-score games. So I believe kicking and special teams does matter in this one. I have a little bit more, but I'm taking the Ravens -3.5. That's my best bet here today.
Okay, yeah, I agree 100%, absolutely, wholeheartedly. Yeah, you go with both my Ravens, and we've talked about them the last few weeks on the show. They've won their last 5 games of the season, and they finished the year 10-6 against the spread, and they covered the spread by 3.5 points per game. We talked about on the show, the way they were winning games, the way they acted like they had to win games was almost like a college football team, who their wins were not only to get the win, but almost as if they were being graded. So they blew the pants off of everybody. Case in point, a 38-3 win against a loser Cincinnati Bengals team in week 17. They didn't need to win that big, but they did. They're that emphatic about how good they want to be and wanting to put fear in these other teams. And for the early part of the season, everyone was, oh, they're not as good as they were last year. Lamar Jackson isn't as good as last year. He shouldn't have been MVP. Well, those final 5 games, he sure looked an awful lot like an MVP. And they are that good. They're very good. I love this Baltimore Ravens team coming into the playoffs. +1,000 win the Super Bowl. I think that's very live if you're going to be crazy enough to fade the Kansas City Chiefs. And improvements from last year. Yeah, the Tennessee Titans beat them in the playoffs last year. So Baltimore won out, and they added 2 excellent pass rushers in Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue. That's going to play a difference Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. Give me the Ravens -3.5. How do you feel about that over 54.5, though? It's an awfully high total, but obviously these two teams are so scary offensively.
I think we're going to see a sick Baltimore defensive performance, actually. You know, they got Calais Campbell for this game. Last year, the Titans passed for like 80 yards in that game and ran for 217. They were able to keep the offense somewhat off the field, or at least tempo the game. They just got goons up front in their front 7. Derek Wolfe, Brandon Williams, Yannick Ngakoue, Calais Campbell. Every Ravens edge rusher is great in the top half of their position, according to Pro Football Focus. And their tackles, the Titans are bad. They're not good. You can get pass rush pressure on that team. So if they're not playing in positive game script, I think it's going to be a great defensive performance. I guess it could be so good that they maybe get a Marcus Peters pick 6 or something like that, which just contributes to the over. But nah, like I'm expecting, outside of like a high powered or explosive aerial attack, I'm expecting a full on performance, multifaceted performance in the Baltimore Ravens. And you know what? I hate, because this is a gambling podcast, I hate just being this upfront about it, but I'm just not that good at totals, and I generally stay away from them. You know, I make like, honestly, I make like probably 5 or 6, 7 bets a week in the NFL, and one of them would be a total, but I prefer to play sides, so I don't have much on the total outside of just having the feeling that Baltimore Ravens defense is going to show up. But are you you're liking the over?
I like totals quite a bit more than you, by the sounds of it. This is the one I'm most scared of this week. The football fan in me wants to lean toward the over just because I want to see an absolute shootout. But yeah, I really don't know. It does seem high, and a standout Baltimore defense performance scares me quite a bit. But I just hammer the -3.5 for the Ravens and call it quits on this game for me. Move on to Chicago, New Orleans.
Let's do it.
All right. Saints -10 favorites at home, -105 odds. Chicago Bears +10, -115. Over under 47.5, -105 for the over, -115 for the under. Saints laying the biggest number of wildcard weekend. Michael Thomas expected back, not officially activated as of this episode recording. We sticking with the favorites here, or do the Bears have it in them? Do we see Nick Foles make appearance?
I mean, if Nick Foles is out there, I can't see the Bears covering here. Because I don't see them just pulling Mitch Trubisky down by one score or two scores, and they even get in the back door. I think this line's disrespectful. I do. I think this, I'm just kind of going to go to Narrativeville. They're cursed, and they annually disappoint people, teams in the, or they annually disappoint fans in the playoffs. In New Orleans Saints, I'm talking about 2-3 straight up, 1-4 against the spread in their last five playoff games. And they've all ended in heartbreaking fashion. Last two in overtime. Last year's loss was to the Vikings. The year before that was an infamous offensive pass interference no call in a 26-23 overtime loss to the Rams. And they lost to the Vikings in 2017 via the Minnesota Miracle. So it's something, it's like a monkey, or it's just a dark cloud looming over the Saints franchise when it comes to the playoffs. I like how this defense with the Bears is playing. And it's a lot. There's a lot of pressure on the Saints defense, in my opinion. Can they be a factor? The first 5 weeks, they played like shit. They played great from weeks 9 to 13. Then they lost rookie Jalen Hurts in week 14. They gave up some points down the stretch here against some teams. And there's a lot of ways Matt Nagy can use Mitchell Trubisky. Chicago's ground game has improved post their week 11 bye. They were under 100 rushing yards as a team from weeks 4 to 10. They were over 100 rushing yards as a team weeks 12 through 17 entering the playoffs. Saints nearly lost to the Bears in week 8. You know, this is the Bears with Foles. I struggle to come up with a Foles take. He's one of the more interesting and weird NFL quarterbacks I've ever seen in terms of, like, there are some just incredible bright spots, obviously, on his resume, and yet a lot of people rightfully feel they don't belong there. But I think Mitch Trubisky, because of the legs and because of just, like, just the vibe that he's going to bring, where it's like, hey, man, like, we all need this game, you know? Granted, I didn't think they'd make it this far, you know, with Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky, but they're in this together, and just 10's too much. 10's too much. I'm sorry. And I'll take the 10.
Yeah, I want to take this against you just to have some more action. And I do think the Saints have a chance to win this. You know, Drew Brees missed some games due to injury. You know, yeah, he was pretty seriously hurt and needed that time off. But now looking back, that adds up to rest. Michael Thomas just missed some games for injury. Yeah, he was probably pretty seriously hurt, and sorry for Michael Thomas. But looking back now, that's a benefit to the New Orleans Saints, that he comes in pretty fresh, pretty ready to go. And he's had a pretty bad season for the reigning offensive player of the year. He's going to look to, you know, turn that around and prove that last year's season, last year's award, wasn't a fluke.
Also, so
I think we see
just note that Michael Thomas wasn't in the first Saints and Bears game, and I don't think either was Emmanuel Sanders. So that is major. But go ahead. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, no, great points. And I think we see a very inspired effort from Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders to a lesser degree in there's already been a lot of reports from a lot of pretty respectable people saying that Drew Brees plans to retire whenever the season ends, whenever that is. So, yeah, I think he's very much geared up for one final Super Bowl run. So I think there's a very good chance we see that New Orleans Saints team. But 10 points is a lot, and it is disrespectful. And Mitchell Trubisky, and especially David Montgomery, have been playing much better football late in this season. Mitchell Trubisky has saved his career for how he's played since replacing Nick Foles again. David Montgomery, you know, a very good sophomore campaign at running back.
He really turned it on late, huh?
Yeah.
Because people
– phenomenal.
All Bears fans are like, what is up with this guy for, like, the first half of the season? And I'm pretty sure he ended the year with over 1,000 yards. Hold on, I'll pull it up now. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, I think it was 1,500 from scrimmage. Maybe that's a little too high. But, yeah, people were writing this guy off. He was a third-round pick last year and somehow being called a bust as a third-round pick. But, no, absolutely a draft steal now. He and Mitchell Trubisky together, and Mitchell Trubisky should be starting football games for the Chicago Bears next year.
So, help real quick. He was 1508 yards from scrimmage. So, I mean, 8 yards off. You essentially nailed it. Five yards per touch. Hell of a year. Good shit, David Montgomery. All right, go ahead. Continue. My bad.
So, yeah, I do like the Saints, weirdly, and I think they're certainly capable of covering that number. I'm like you. I have too much respect for the Chicago Bears right now. And, yeah, they can keep this within 7 points, especially in a garbage time situation, because Mitchell Trubisky has shown he can throw. So, yeah, I'm with you on the Bears slightly, unfortunately, for our competition.
Yeah, and another thing that you kind of, like, you kind of helped me focus in on here as we're recording. But the Chicago Bears have the eighth best defensive DVOA according to Football Outsiders, and they had the most difficult schedule of offenses played, which is something that matters, right? They're more battle tested. They played the Packers twice, Vikings, who, I mean, they could do offense, they couldn't do defense, and I can go through their calendar or their schedule, but let's just trust Football Outsiders metrics and say that they're around the toughest offensive schedule or opponent's offense schedule. So I think that's an interesting point that you brought up earlier that I'm using now again, and even strengthens my like for the Bears plus 10. And it's juice too, which, you know, sucks. We have to pay a little more tax or you got to pay the extra vig, but at least it means that the market is preferring that, or that's where the market is leaning. So, all right, good stuff. One more game.
Final game, wild card weekend. Cleveland Browns plus 6 underdogs against the AFC North champion Pittsburgh Steelers, 6-point home favorites, minus 110 odds both sides. Over under 47.5, minus 110 odds both sides. Cleveland just beat Pittsburgh 24-22 last week at home. They won 6 of their final 8 games of the season. However, they also lost 38-7 to Pittsburgh in week 6, and that was a very healthy and a very, very good Pittsburgh Steelers team. Obviously, injuries have piled up a little bit on either side. Got some major offensive line issues for Cleveland coming into this one, some COVID issues as well. Most notably, head coach Kevin Stefanski, who won't be at this game. Assistant Mike Pfeiffer will be calling the plays. Pittsburgh, they're fairly healthy other than Bud Dupree is lost for the season. But, you know, TJ Watt, Ben Roethlisberger, a lot of key guys got some extra rest last week. I wanted Cleveland coming in, but, you know, as the news has unfolded, seemingly every development was negative for Cleveland. Yeah. Pittsburgh minus 6 looking pretty good for me right now.
Yeah, it feels like a spot where you either lay it or you play it. I mean, it steamed up from Steelers minus 4 to minus 6. 80% of the market is on the Steelers. Again, I'm not as worried about following the market as in the regular season. First-year head coach Kevin Stefanski is, to me, the most important acquisition of this recent Browns rebuild. And, you know, he's not there with COVID. So, obviously, that's an issue. again, go up or rewind back if you need to or if you need to hear my thoughts or the stats about quarterbacks making their first ever playoff start. Excuse me, I don't want to regurgitate that stuff. And Browns eke past the Mason Rudolph-led Steelers team that had a lot of third stringers and backups in Week 17. You know, it doesn't mean necessarily that the first stringers come in and just ball out and blow out the Steelers, but I think it is indicative of just how deep and well-coached this Pittsburgh Steelers team and defense is, and just really how much of an upset it would be for the Browns to beat their AFC North division foe. It's just what we've seen out of the Steelers for the past month has been so terrible. Like, that Colts win was awesome. If you're a Steelers fan, it was awesome for me betting the Steelers. But holy shit, they haven't put together a solid game in weeks now. And I like how this Browns team is trending up. As much as I haven't been a huge Baker fan so far in his career, he has looked good. I've been impressed with him in certain games here. The running is a no joke. And if they can just, you know, get into not make any terrible mistakes, they can keep it within six, you know. But it's tough to take the points. Even taking the points with the Browns with no coach, I don't know. It's like, it's a challenge for me because on one hand, I feel like coaches can be a little overrated. On the other hand, they are the most important. Like coaches are most important in football, I believe. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm torn here, and it's definitely not something I bring to the window. I agree with my opening statement, or I'll go back to my open statement. I think it's a lay it or lay it or just pass situation. So I'll just probably pass in this one.
Yeah, I like Baker Mayfield a whole lot more than you. And just all quarterbacks obviously are greatly affected by pass rush of their opponent. But Baker Mayfield, maybe almost more so than most other quarterbacks, at least, you know, his best game of the year was that Titans game. Well, Titans don't have a pass rush at all. It's last or second last in any metric that you want to talk about. And yeah, Jack Conklin has a knee issue. Wyatt Teller has an ankle issue. J.C. Treader has a knee issue. All three of these guys probably play, but probably not at their best, right? And, you know, Olivier Vernon's on the IR for Cleveland, so that affects their pass rush. Obviously, they got Myles Garrett still, so that's to their benefit. But Olivier Vernon had a great season, was a big part of that. I just don't know if they can get the pressure on Ben. And I think the Steelers, with a healthy and rested TJ Watt, kind of spent a lot of time in Baker's face, and that's bad news for the Browns. And yeah, even at the plus six, I'm on Steelers here.
All righty, well, that wraps up their BetMGM Buggin' Slate. All right, let's lock in our bets in our next in our final segment here. We call Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
All right, Eston. Well, you've done a whole bunch of, you've done a lot more handicapping than I have, especially with that NHL futures, scope and futures segment we did at the top of the podcast. But what are you taking to your, what are you putting on your bet slip and taking to the window?
Hey, Jeff, I'm just putting in my work today before you do the heavy lifting tomorrow with the national championship game. I know you're excited for that one, but yeah, locking in some futures. NHL future, I'm very excited about. Braden Point, over 62.5 points this year for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Once again, shouldering the load for Nikita Kucherov's absence. 62.5 points in a 56-game season. Yeah, it's tough, but a young guy, he's going to be ready to go from the start through the end of the season. I like that for an NHL future. Jack Eichel, Hart Trophy, Buffalo Sabre center, plus 1,600. That's worth a, you know, not quite a long shot, but a mid-range contender for me. And then moving into the NFL as well, there are some unders I liked a lot. Under 42.5, Seattle, LA, minus 110 odds there. Under 44.5, and Washington football team to cover, plus 8.5. I'm going to do a same game parlay on that one. I already got Washington plus 8.5 against Jeff, so I feel very strongly about those two wagers. And yeah, Jeff's going to have this one as his strongest play of the week, like he said, but yeah, he talked me more strongly into a bet I was feeling pretty good about already. Baltimore Ravens -3.5. I was on Tennessee earlier in the week, but hey, I'm allowed to change my opinion throughout the week and as things have developed, and you know, just woke up to how good this Baltimore Ravens team was down the stretch. Yeah, right. Those are my strongest bets. I guess stop at those 5.
All right, yeah, what I got in my bet slip, like you were just saying, I got the Ravens -3.5. I got the Lamar revenge game. He's not going to go 0-3 against the Titans, I don't think. I got the Bears +10. I just think that's too disrespectful of a line. Bears defense has battle-tested. I'm not as convinced about the explosiveness or the threats, or excuse me, the effectiveness and efficiency of the New Orleans offense. And I think when it's against a Bears defense, it's going to they're going to need their defense to show up. And I like the 10 in that situation. And I'll do a 3-team money line parlay. Like I said in the beginning of this podcast, NFL wildcard weekend is my favorite sports betting weekend of the year. So I'm really going for it this week. I'm going to do a 3-team money line parlay with the Ravens, the Bills, and the Seahawks. That pays out at +229 at the moment. I don't know what it'll be once you hear this podcast. We're recording Thursday, January 7th. I should have put that at the top of the hour. But so as of right now, if you were to take the Ravens money line, Bills money line, Seahawks money line parlay that on BetMGM, it would pay +229. And the thought process is simple outside of liking them just to win and not having to lay the points with that parlay. You know, the back door is always open for Titans offense, which can be very explosive, if I'm being honest, despite how I feel about the Ravens and their defense entering this game. Colts defense is pretty good. If they can keep it, them keeping it within a touchdown or 6.5 isn't out of the realm of possibility. You know, I really like the Bills -6.5. And the Seahawks, I really like -3.5. But again, with the Rams defense, if it gets to an even 3 game, you know, just having this parlay, this money line parlay could make sure you cash on I guess all my leans and likes here. So that's my bet slip. Ravens -3.5, Bills +10, and the 3-team money line parlay, Ravens, Bills, Seahawks. That's all I got for my weekend, NFL wildcard weekend bet slip. We ready to get out of here?
Yeah, I like it a lot. It was a great episode, and hey, good luck this weekend. Very excited for a lot of these games and looking forward to how it plays out.
And again, we're going to come back tomorrow. We're recording this Thursday, January 7th. We're going to do a special standalone podcast for just the national championship game that's being played this Monday, January 11th. It'll be out tomorrow. Check out your feeds, whether it be Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts. However you listen to podcasts, Bet Slippin' is there for your consumption. And I'm looking forward to it, so I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. But if you guys are just here for the NFL content, you're not gonna listen tomorrow. Best of luck with the NFL bets. Best of luck, everyone. Heston, any parting thoughts?
Yeah, good luck. Thanks for listening. NHL season coming back as well, Jeff. Overlooking that, of course. But hey, I'm excited. Hopefully some of you are as well. Looking forward to some more hockey talk this season.
All right. Best of luck, everyone. Later.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Heston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.